What's up, guys? Welcome to our first episode. I'm Dustin.
And I'm Mike, and we're Ash Hats Podcast.
Yes, it's a podcast that smokes cigars with you. We're going to cut cigars, we're going to smoke cigars, and we're going to light cigars.
And our goal is actually to enjoy not only each other's company, but to talk about things that interest us, whether it be sports, you know, the current events, and whatever it is that comes to mind.
We're also going to be reviewing the cigar we're smoking. We're going to be reviewing the cutter we use, and we're also going to be reviewing the lighter that we use.
What's cool about this podcast, and the reason why we wanted to do this, is that we wanted to give listeners an opportunity to smoke a cigar with us while we smoke it. So the length of our podcast is going to be as long as it takes for us to smoke our cigar. So sometimes we'll have a nice long smoke, and sometimes we'll smoke a cigar that maybe only takes a half an hour.
So what are we smoking today?
This is a Handlebar Gregorio. This is actually one that you gave me as a gift.
So last week, I was driving through Buffalo, and I noticed on one of their major highways, their cigar company, I believe it was a Nice Ash cigar, and they hand-rolled their own cigar, went in. I met the owner. He was a great guy. We spoke in depth for a good half hour, and he recommended the Handlebar. So what are we waiting for? Let's cut.
All right. Sounds good. We always like to talk a little bit about the cut because that's one of the biggest and most important parts about it. And we're hoping that not only people who smoke cigars listen to our podcast, but people who might be interested in smoking cigars. So hopefully you get a little bit of information about cigars in general as you're listening. I think we're going to do a V-cut today.
We are. V-cut is one of my favorite. Today we're going to be using a General Cohiba cutter. I'm going to cut mine. Mike's going to cut his, and we'll be right back.
One of the things that we're going to try to do also is recommend that you smoke the same cigar that we smoke, but obviously you don't have to do that. I actually prefer the V-cut. It's one of my favorite cuts. And what's nice about this is that the cutters are relatively inexpensive. I got this one on Amazon for a couple bucks. But the V-cut is really nice for that rounded cigar. I wouldn't recommend this for something that's like flat on the bottom. But
it's no box cut or anything.
No.
The lighter we're using is one of our favorite lighters. It's the Perdomo Lotus 12-year lighter. On the back, it has two size gauge hole punch, which we're not using today. But the lighter itself is three torch. Great lighter. Has some power to it. I'm going to light up.
What's funny is I'm not actually a big fan of the torch lighters. I think they burn too hot. But for getting a quick light, this is the best lighter I've ever used. It's very hefty. It has a lot of weight to it. And it gets the job done. I actually like using a match more than I like using a lighter. Usually because
I burn my fingers.
You do? Well, I like the soft flame better than I like this guy. But if I'm on the golf course, if I'm actually, you know, in a windy area, this is going to be the lighter that you're going to want to use.
So when I was on vacation, we were in Ithaca, and we stayed downtown, and the flame I had to use, because you shouldn't be smoking a cigar in a hotel, was the matches. And you could tell a difference by the flame. You know, like when you're smoking a cigar, like there's definitely a difference between butane, lighter, which is my least favorite.
Oh, okay.
And then the matches. And I think that just comes like when your first cigar, you don't know the difference. Mm-hmm. But like I've been smoking now, man, I would say probably 12 years.
Wow.
I've been smoking.
Yeah. Almost as long as the age 12.
Yeah, year. Right?
One thing I actually want to bring up before I light up is when I get a cigar I've never smoked before, this is a brand new cigar to me, I've never had this before, is I like to do two things. I do the smell test and the cold draw. So smell test is just give a whiff to the wrapper on the cigar and see what you smell. This one is a little hint of sweetness. It's it doesn't have a dark wrapper. This is actually a Connecticut Leaf smoke, so it seems like it's going to be mild. And I like to do a cold draw. So breathe in a little bit through that cigar once you cut it, and you get a little bit of a taste as to what that's gonna taste like. But I'm going to light up now as well.
I've never even heard of a cold draw. That's very interesting. I might go home and do some cold draws on some of my cigars in my humidor. This episode, we're going to talk a lot about our first experiences with cigars. While Mike's lighting, I'll talk about mine. So I had to have been 17 or 18, and it was a Labor Day party at my in-laws, well, my wife's uncle's house, and he had a huge pool, and he had, like, those $3, $4 knockoff cigars, mm-hmm. you know, like, it, you know, like, Cohiba-like cigar, and it was awesome, and I never smoked a cigar in my life, and I ended up smoking, like, two or three that day, and he was very, he's still very knowledgeable. I had a cigar with him over the 4th of July weekend. And he taught me everything I knew about cigars at that point. It was just one sit down, me, him, and my brother-in-law Fred, and we just talked cigars. And I was so captivated by it. Like,
it's amazing when you start learning about the business and the history and about all the different intricacies about cigars, how much information there really is. And that's something we want to bring to the podcast as well, mm-hmm. our knowledge, because we've been smoking for many, many years. I know I had my first cigar when I was 21, right around.
Was I with you?
You might have been, actually.
Because I was big in the cigars when we turned of age.
But yeah, you didn't buy me my first cigar. We're very good friends in terms of cigars. We like to, and I hope all of our listeners like to do this as well. You find a new smoke and you share it with somebody and you trade all those good smokes that you have. But the first cigar I ever had was on parade day in Scranton when I was 21. And one of our mutual friends, Josh, actually purchased my first cigar for me. And I'll tell you what, I got violently ill. It was a Drew Estate acid. And I'll tell you what, I can't smoke them. And I don't like the flavor. I'm not a big, it's something about the flavor.
I gave you that
never
Crazy Alice.
Yeah, you did.
That's a great cigar, flavored everything. But it's funny you mentioned about getting sick. We're from Scranton, PA, and Labor Day weekend is traditionally, in a non-pandemic world, the Italian festival.
That's right.
So my wife, who was my fiance at the time, could have been my girlfriend. We've been together for going on 19 years this year. Wow. Married for 10 this year.
Oh, there you go.
And all she wanted to do was go to the Italian festival, get her color-flavored root beer and this, that. So one thing I learned is a really bad idea. When you take that last draw, you want to get, you know, make it,
yeah,
like,
make it last,
like savor it. And mm-hmm. so you take a huge hit. Yeah. Probably you got violently sick too.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't know, you don't know what they mean when they say, oh, I swallowed it.
Mm-hmm.
And like Mike said,
when you were on that nicotine high and you're feeling it, boy, is it intense. Now I want to ask you, so do you leave the band on normally when you smoke a cigar?
I traditionally don't.
Interesting. So I usually, it's funny, I used to not put the band on, like leave it on as long as I would. But when I actually smoke cigars anymore, from watching YouTube videos and trying to be educated, I was recommended by someone at Perdomo to leave the band on because it helps to keep the wrapper on. And it's actually not a bad idea, but there's a big controversy over leaving the band on.
I don't, and I'll tell you why. Because when I smoke cigars, it doesn't matter what I'm smoking. Or if I keep it in my pocket, but it's about who I'm smoking it with. And I feel like if you leave the band on, it's almost like showing your status.
It's exactly.
Is that what they said?
That's exactly what they say. In terms of cigar etiquette, it's common misconception. If you leave the band on, you're trying to show everybody, right, hey, I'm smoking this Cohiba.
I'm leaving the band on right now because the Gregorio, is that?
Gregorio.
Are you sure that's how they pronounce it?
I'm not.
But the wrapper's unique in, it has like almost like a candle wax feel.
Seal,
to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and
it's cool.
It feels really good on the finger, and mine just fell off. So that's really funny. No, but traditionally, if I'm out, even here, like when we smoke with our friends, I always take it off. Yeah. And again, I leave it in the pocket. One thing I always wanted to do with the wrapper is keep them and get like almost like a photo album.
Yep.
And like get the year, get the day I smoked in. Not write like a little, like a journal on. No, right. I don't want to do that. Like, I just wanted to keep it to remember and like kind of bring you back. And, you know, one thing we're talking about, and I hope we don't spill the beans and somebody steals this idea, is getting like an app to keep track of cigars. Because you don't remember.
You're like, absolutely right. I mean, how many cigars have you had this year? And you're thinking, wow, I haven't had that CAO in how long, or mm-hmm. I haven't had that Monte Cristo. I can't remember what kind it was, but boy, mm-hmm. was it something that knocked you off your feet. And I agree with you 100%. I know we have a mutual friend, TJ, who's doing a shadow box, and bands are quite artistic in the way that companies are marketing their product, and band is the best way to do it.
Some of them, like, because they have, like, CAO in particular, the band is not cylindrical throughout. and the That's A right. in the CAO kind of bumps.
Mm-hmm.
So if you fold that, it almost looks like a championship belt.
Yep.
You know, like I always just thought, and that's probably where my inspiration comes from. It's like, you know, you put that in, and it's like, you know, like that was a championship bout for that night. You know what right. I mean? Like, it just looks
it
so
It was
cool.
a phenomenal smoke for yeah. that evening, and it makes you remember it even more.
Absolutely.
Ow, I used to keep the bands, and now I had a drawer full of them, mm-hmm. and it's gotten to the point now where I'm like, oh, boy, they're doubling up and tripling up, yeah. and I've got so many leftover bands from cigars yeah, that I've had, yeah, and I'm yeah. starting to throw them away now.
If you're listening to this, go on our Instagram, and just any of our posts, you're going to see a post about the cigar we're smoking now, the setup we're using, but just comment on any of them. If you're listening to this, how do you keep your bands? You know, I would love to, you know,
I'd love to know.
Or even take a picture of it, post it on Instagram, and tag us. Like, I would love to see some, like, you right. know, like, you see some on Pinterest here and there, but, mm-hmm. like, I'm not on Pinterest that much, you know? Right.
And that was going to be my next question for you, was do you normally smoke by yourself, or are you a person that's a social smoker? Because a lot of people, like I said, my hope with this podcast is that if our listeners are cigar smokers, and you're used to having a smoke with friends, and because we're living in a pandemic world, you can't really do it anymore, you can throw this podcast on while you're having a cigar and feel like you're right in the room with us.
Right.
Are you a social smoker, or are you solo?
I'm both. I mean, in the summer, I would say I lean more towards solo, because in my house, and I live in a, I want to say a small house or a big house, I live in a house, and we have a TV in the kitchen, TV in our main room, and then, of course, upstairs, but, you know, you can't smoke upstairs. So I go out on the deck, and I'm a big Yankees fan. Go Yankees. I'll put the game on. And it doesn't always have to be Yankees. I mean, I've done it with TV. I mean, we just talked about, I watched the History Channel, and I'll light up a cigar, and I'll put, like, I use Hulu Live, and I put it right on there. And so, mm-hmm. like, I'll watch the game, and I find that, like, cigars add to the relaxation. Like, it adds to the tranquility of the evening. And I mean, I'm not going to talk a lot about myself. I am an entrepreneur, and some days seem to get away from me a lot faster than others. And it just, like, it slows down time for me. But on the flip side, I love smoking with you.
Right.
Like, I love smoking with my friends. And, you know, like I just said about relaxing, like, I found that, like, even with our hypers, the friends,
mm-hmm.
they just take the foot off the gas a little bit.
The calm.
Yeah.
That comes
like,
over you.
It overwhelms the area with calmness. And, you know, I love my wife with all my heart, and I call cigars my wife repellent, because
yeah.
you know Beth, she hates when I smoke cigars. All the windows are closed, and she'll open like a side window with a screen, talk to me for 2 minutes, shut it. We usually talk via text when I smoke cigars. How about you?
I love smoking a cigar when I'm working on a project. So
okay.
I am a big proponent of doing things with my hands, and I don't like to call anybody to do any sort of work that I can do myself. So I'm big on going in the garage and working on something, whether it's working on my car, working on a fan. But usually when I'm doing that, I have a cigar in my wow. hand, and it's because it helps me to clear my mind and get a real thought in there that says, this is exactly what I'm doing, and it's the relaxation factor.
Now, you have a fast-paced mind. Do you find that it slows your mind down a bit?
It does. I feel like it focuses it a little bit more. And okay. what's interesting is sometimes when I'm smoking a cigar, you get the smoke in your eyes, and you're kind of getting really, really focused. And sometimes you have to take a step back when you're really working on something and put the cigar down. But having that cigar really gets you in the zone, so to speak, when you're working on something and you need to be need to be focused. And I just enjoy having that cigar when I'm doing something, but I don't always need it. You know, sometimes there's projects that you need to do that don't.
So I not to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
The only thing I can do with a cigar, and you know, I struggle to walk and chew gum.
Yeah,
it's
right?
not my. Yeah, I'm not good. I'm very. I won't say absent-minded, but I get scatterbrained. So when I smoke a cigar, I always smoke a cigar when I shovel the sidewalks. And you know that.
Mm-hmm.
And I always, when I'm on the deck, like if the game ends, I always read for 20 minutes when I'm smoking a cigar.
I love to read and smoke.
But I can't find myself doing like the hand, like I use my hands often, but I don't know like if it's just because I'm worried about it in my mouth and like using two hands at one time. And
it gets tricky.
Because you're down to what, 7 fingers when you do it?
Right, exactly.
And so solo or social?
I prefer social. I enjoy people's company when they're having a cigar because it's almost like they're a different person because they act differently when they have a little bit of nicotine in their system. They're relaxed, they're calm, they're enjoying themselves, and they're not doing the hustle and bustle of everyday life. But lately, it's been mostly solo. And it's funny that you mentioned that about having your hands free. You're right. You know, sometimes I'll have that cigar in my mouth and I'll be working. I'll take a breath in and go, oh boy, I just got a whole lung full of smoke that I don't inhale my cigars. So it's like that burned pretty damn good when that went down.
I didn't know that about your first cigar. I never knew that about acids. And we have two mutual friends I know of that love acids.
Exclusively smoke
so
acids.
So we both have them in our humidor just in case they pop by.
And that's right.
And I love that. But I didn't know that with that burn. I didn't know you had that with your first one.
What now, a turning point.
That was 12 years ago,
12
too?
12 years ago
13
for me.
Almost. Yeah, and do you find yourself able to inhale now?
You know, to a bit, there's something called retrohaling. I don't know if any of our listeners have ever done that, but it's when you take that cigar smoke and it goes into your mouth and up through your nasal passages and out your nose. And I've been able to do that a bit, but it's not easy to do. You need to practice it. And if you're not used to doing it, it burns. Like, it's not easy.
I mean, I don't know how popular of a technique this is in a COVID-19 world, but like we've done this many, many, many a times, and this is again pre-COVID-19, but if you say, oh my God, you have to take a hit of this, right? Not just you, but like whenever somebody offers me that.
I used to hate when you did that.
Oh, yeah, because I'm a lipper. I know, I'm big time. Like, my mouth is all over my cigar.
I can tell with your cigar
now.
Yeah,
it's already wet.
It's nice and wet.
But I found myself retro-inhaling only when, because I felt like I was able to get the full body of that cigar. And although I was only, I mean, there's the popular knowledge is you smoke a cigar in thirds.
Yes, that's right.
And I feel like when you did that retro-inhale, you know, you take that initial hit. But I feel like on that retro inhale, you can feel the body of it
that you
wouldn't normally feel, because when you're smoking a cigar, you don't always. You know, I'm not retro inhaling right now.
Right, exactly. Neither am I.
That I didn't know that was the term for it, though. Mm-hmm. You know, that's crazy. That's awesome.
Well, and again, there's a lot of good things that come out of this that I'm hoping that our listeners learn about cigars. And if you've ever tried to retro inhale, or if you're an expert on it, I'd love to hear, you know, somebody's opinion as to the best way to do it. But like, I can't smoke rings. My father used to smoke. Yeah, our friend Jeffrey actually is very good. I can't do it. I've tried.
No, and I don't know if it's because I have a nice size gap in my teeth.
Maybe.
But yeah, I've looked like a fish gasping for water or air. Like, I've tried every technique with my lips to get that circle out, and I can't. But Jeffrey, he almost looks like you're playing Sonic the Hedgehog. Like, they're perfectly symmetrical and gone.
And you see people online who vape, and they do these cool tricks and everything. And it's funny, because I think about when I'm smoking a cigar and what the smoke looks like when it comes out. And that's how I know it's a good smoke, is that smoke when it's coming out is real thick and white, almost like a vape. And that's kind of how this is a good cigar. Thank you. Again, this is a gift from Dustin to me. I'm very happy about having
and
it.
It's the Amazon Basin. I broke the rule because that's one of my all-time favorite cigars. But I did buy two of them with intent. But man, I forgot how good that was. Whenever I buy a cigar, I always buy them in twos. Mm-hmm. Especially if we've been posting a lot about Santiago Cigar Factory. If you're ever near Rochester, you have to go meet that family. Mm-hmm. Wow, we're making a trip.
I can't wait. I'm very happy to have some cigars from them.
Mike and I split a box, and the kindness and just overall, like, it was awesome. But when I know that we can't buy them here. Mm-hmm. So same with at Nice Ash, and I think it was Brown Cigars. I stopped that too. We can't get them here, so I always buy two, and whether it be with Mike or a mutual friend. I always like to smoke a new cigar with somebody.
Right. So I absolutely do. It's kind of a shame when you have a new cigar and you can't enjoy it with a friend, especially the person who gets it for you. And we like to put different cigars in each other's humidors. And you mentioned that earlier about having an acid in your humidor for a friend. Do you do that a lot? Like, do you have
a cigar in there
for specific people? Because I do that too.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a couple cigars in there specifically for you, my mutual friends. My one brother-in-law, he loves the Drew Estate ones.
Mawat, remember?
Oh,
Uzi weighs a ton.
Loved them. I have four or five of them in there too. Yep. But you know, some people like different cigars, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, in getting back to the leaving the band on and off, it's not about what you're smoking all the time. It's about who you're smoking with.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's funny. I was thinking about this with different people and getting cigars for them. My father-in-law So I told you about that acid cigar I had, and it kind of turned me off a bit to smoking cigars. But my father-in-law, he's a big cigar smoker, smokes two a day. He really started getting me into the kinds of cigars that I like now, which are the not sweetened ones, you know, the ones that aren't. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. Drew State makes some fantastic smokes. They're just not my kind. You know, I'm just not into the flavored sort of smokes. But he's really a big proponent on the CAO, some of the more popular brands. And I didn't know any of that until I started smoking with him. Mm-hmm. And I have a couple smokes in my humidor right now that are specifically for him. But I'll tell you what, it bothers me a little bit because I know every time he comes over, he grabs one out of that box. And I'm thinking, man, I know I had an Alec Bradley in there from the other day, and I'm wondering what happened to it. Oh, my father-in-law got it.
You know, now, do you have multiple humidors?
I do. I have one in the house, one in the garage. I have one in the basement. That basement one doesn't get used as much, but it's interesting. Sometimes I forget to fill one over the other, and sometimes I have – there's always one in the house that has the really good primo, you know, smokes that you can't wait to smoke. And then I have a lot of knockaround cigars that I keep that are cheap you have to have just to have for when you're doing a quick project and you're not really too concerned with it.
Yeah, like sometimes we'll have big parties, and by big parties we'll have like 10 friends over. Like our predominant parties are between what, like 4 and 7?
Yeah, I'd like say cigar give or take.
But sometimes you have 10 to 15 and you don't want to give that super good cigar to somebody that you know
Doesn't smoke.
So you want to have those knockoffs, whether it be for, okay, I have an hour. I don't want to smoke that Alec Bradley because it might be a 90-minute cigar and I really want to enjoy it. But if I smoke this, if I finish in 20 minutes, it's not
a big deal.
I'm not going to sleep over.
I bought a box of General Grants and there were these really small cigars. I think they came out, it was crazy, so like 75 cents per smoke. And they were good cigars. They really were. But those are the ones I used exclusively for my friends who I know aren't real big cigar smokers. But if everybody else is smoking a cigar, and it's almost like a ultra manly thing. You know, you're sitting around having a couple of beers, you're enjoying life. And, you know, somebody brings the cigars out and you're saying, you know, I'm definitely having one of those cigars, those smokes.
Yeah.
Whether it's a wedding, whether it's a barbecue, whether it's any kind of party. But I also...
I was saying about that because of my the diaper party.
Yep.
When we had about 20 guys there. And, you know, blessed to have good amount of friends and good humans. And they all smoked. And you know, it's funny we said that because next morning, once I woke up, about 2/3 of them were a half or more. Just like cut, smoke. Okay, I'm good.
Yep, they were
gone. Like, they smoked like a cigarette.
Now, you don't smoke cigarettes and neither do I.
Never.
Yeah. And I had one once. I was at a bachelor party, and somebody put a cigarette in my mouth, and I smoked it like a cigar.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, was that awful.
Yep. Kyle had me try one, and I tried it, and I was like, oh, this is absolutely horrible. And that was it. That was it. And that, I've never smoked a full cigarette in my life. I've taken one drag.
And I know you grew up with it. I grew up with it. My parents were both big smokers. And it's funny that, like, you know, neither of us really picked that up, but then cigars have become such a huge part of our lives.
Yeah.
And we've decided to go into the podcasting world and Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, and hopefully
we're getting there.
Yeah, we're and get our website up and running. One thing I wanted to talk to you a little bit about are prices. Because something that I've talked to my father-in-law and people who have been smoking cigars for years is about how back in the old days, cigars used to be so cheap. And I'll tell you, the market has changed so much since, you know, you had these brick and mortar shops that used to be all the rage. Now you do online. Like, what do you think about buying a cigar? Because you were saying you bought a box of cigars up in New York.
So the best cigar I had in my 20s was called the Brick.
Mm.
Do you remember that?
Yep.
I think it was similar to it was a box cut.
Yeah.
It was the first box I had. It was $3.95. One day I got, you know, like a bonus at work or whatever, and I splurged. I got the Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like $27 at the time. I don't even know what it is now.
I can't imagine.
Like, but you know, like you get that for like an event, like something. I forget the reason behind it, but I got the most expensive cigar they had. I hated it. I was like, oh my God, I like the $4 cigar.
Don't you hate that?
You hate it, but you learn.
Right.
And, you know, like, so I feel like it's not always about the price. Like, I might be deterred to try something new.
Right.
At the 10 to 15 range. Under 10, I'll try it. 15 and up, I mean, it's going to.
It's very interesting because you go and buy a brand name cigar like a Padron or a Monte Cristo, and you're willing to drop $20 on a cigar.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of money for one cigar, but the name, the rating on it, you know, you buy a 93 rated cigar,
mm-hmm.
and then you smoke it and you're like, wow, this wasn't nearly what I expected.
So I think it's like to each their own type thing. Like,
oh, absolutely.
I love X type of pizza. You love Y type of pizza. And I respect that, you know, right. It's one of those things. And when I was in Rochester at Santiago Factory, we bought a box and it was a couple hundred, and I've never smoked it before. It was the barber pole one, one you smoked last night. And I bought it. It went against everything we just said because they were hand rolling them.
You got right to see there. Them in the action.
And it was the kindness, the, mm-hmm. you know, watching them do it and just the experience. And it sold me on the cigar before I even smoked it. So I think if that was more readily available, and maybe if cigar companies, like their highest end cigar, they showed how it was made. They showed like the Amazon Basin.
Mm-hmm.
I just posted on that on the Instagram. Like, if you go on that CAO page, like, they tell you
they're raving about it. Yeah.
It comes out every 3 years.
It's amazing.
Oh, my. I might give you that other one.
Can't wait to smoke it.
We might split that box.
That's not a bad idea. That's
yeah, because we were finding some good prices on them. But, yeah, it's. I don't mind paying for it when I see it and, like, I get that. Like, wow, they put so much time. Like, that Amazon Basin was a $15 cigar,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't even blink an eye because I know what they did. And if you see the picture of it, like, how they do the leaf, like, as the band, like, that's so cool.
It does. It looks very, very good. And CAO has been very, very vocal about that cigar in particular because it's so rare. Mm-hmm. The tobacco grows in the Amazon, and it's... I can't even remember the name of the tobacco breed that they find.
It's like rainforest. It's something like a bee or something.
Baccarera, something like that.
If I pronounce them, I mispronounce it.
I'm sure, right?
So you're a third through.
Yeah, I'm about a third through. I like this. It's a Connecticut wrapper, so it's a little bit milder than I'm used to smoking. Mm-hmm. I'm a big Maduro cigar smoker. I like them a little darker. I like a Cameroon wrapper. I've even gone Oscuro, which is the black, real dark cigars. And I'm a big dark cigar smoker. I like them that have been fermented for that long a period of time. But these are nice to have every once in a while. This is a good smoke.
I like it. I'm enjoying it myself. We do have the darker wrap of this handle. So
that's
We'll do that in a future episode.
We'll have to try that. Do you think, like, with the darker wrapper, that gives you a different sort of feeling when you smoke it? Because some people, they get this feeling that, oh, the darker smoke has a more intense flavor, and it drives me nuts when people talk about flavors in cigars, and mm-hmm. they're saying, I can taste the coffee and the chocolate and the hickory and all this other sort of
stuff.
So
if I'm smoking with someone novice, like mm-hmm. I'll go into a cigar store, get me a cigar I'll like. You know, okay, well, I can't do
good
that.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, right? So I always tell them about the asthma. If you want like a true, I always go with a more Connecticut wrapper.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like when you get into like the Nicaraguans and like the darker wraps,
oh, yeah.
I've found that like if I've offered that first,
scares them off.
It's not only scares it off, but like they get that sickness feeling.
I've noticed that too.
Quicker. And you know, personally, the darker the cigar, the quicker I've gotten that stomach turn as mm-hmm. well.
We were just talking about the stomach turn and the nicotine that hits. And part of the reason why that happens is because your blood sugar level isn't quite accepting of that nicotine level. So as a good little hack for some of our readers, I learned this from Cigar Aficionado, is if you get that feeling of like a real hard hit of nicotine, is to put a sugar packet under your tongue and get that blood sugar up. And it'll help to move the nicotine through your system a little quicker. And it'll make you feel better if you have some food in your stomach.
So... tell them what you do for a living.
Oh,
so.
I know, right? I mean, this is our first podcast, and we got right into the cigars, and we're already
which is fine.
In.
I mean, that's absolutely. Why we're here.
I am actually a chemist by profession, so I'm an educator. I like to teach as many people as I can about chemistry because I have a master's degree in biochemistry. So if it sounds like I'm going off about nicotine and all these other sort of biochemical pathways, it's because that's my forte. That's my profession. And I'm also, interested in the education aspect of it. So I like to teach people. I'm a high school chemistry teacher, mm-hmm. like the Walter White that everybody wishes they knew.
You are our Walter White.
Right. But I actually enjoy teaching, and specifically teaching science education. So I've taught everything from biology to chemistry to physics, and that's really where my expertise lies in. but I'm also a handyman. You know, mm-hmm. I'm kind of the guy that people go to when they need help with their roof or their pipes are leaking. And
they got a scratch on the driveway.
They got a scratch on the driveway or on the truck. They need something painted or the car is acting up and they need somebody to replace the fuel injectors. That's where I'm at. And it's funny, you know, I have a lot of friends who are teachers and a lot of them smoke cigars as well. I've met a lot of teachers who are actually big cigar smokers and big drinkers, but that's neither here nor there. But I'm interested for you to explain a little bit about yourself. And sure, I know you said you were an entrepreneur, but...
Yep. So I own a junk removal company. I'm proud to say I feel that we are the best junk removal company in the country. I am an entrepreneur. I like to grow businesses. I love to grow and develop brands. And I feel like this can be a really good brand. And it's not always about the money side. Like when you hear entrepreneur, it's money, money. No, it's about helping people. Like I got real excited about this because Mike made a good point. He's like, you know, a lot of the social smokers can't be all that social anymore. So let's be social in this platform.
Right. And absolutely.
I think we can definitely do that. And it's all about your feedback. Like if you're listening to this, give us topics you want to talk about. And if we hit on something that really interests you, like comment on it, like anywhere and anywhere. Like, hey, I heard that first episode. You talked about Walter White. Have you ever watched
Breaking Bad?
Breaking Bad. I watched three episodes. I could do
That's
it.
Funny.
Yeah, but I knew you would. But
And it's interesting you mentioned that because a lot of brick and mortar cigar shops are fading away. You know, it's an interesting market right now with cigars because a lot of people are purchasing online. The prices have come down and people are spending their money elsewhere rather than going into the cigar shops. And that's where people used to go for a social smoke. I know I had my diaper party at one of the popular cigar bars around town.
It was a great time.
And I love going there and I really enjoy when the cigar rep comes and he brings a lot of good freebies. And, you know,
you talk to them about like, they know they're so all those cigar reps are ridiculously knowledgeable and like they're sitting there like just but if you pick their brain like a lot of them will put things in front of them just so their conversation pieces between the torches the cutters like hey I like they'll I've the one time I talked to one about the different blade used in a V-cut versus standard cut and like it's mind-bending.
It's a business. It's a multi-billion dollar business. And it's over 100 years old. I mean, cigars have been around since the dawn of time. People have been enjoying them. And it's interesting because there's a lot of... I mean, cigars get a bad rap. I mean, you know, people with cigarette smoke and the dangers.
Do you think that there's a demographic barrier with cigars?
It's very interesting because it seems that most cigar smokers are it used to be 18. Now we have to be 21 to buy a cigar. Right. How ridiculous, right? But that 21 to 50-year-old male smoker seems to be the most predominant. But I love Instagram for this. I love seeing the female cigar smokers. You see cigar
That's becoming more predominant as well.
It is.
I have a friend whose fiance smokes cigars. And
wow.
Yeah, Chip, Leah, smokes cigars, and she loves it. She's just as knowledgeable as we are with it. And
I don't know a single female who smokes cigars. No? That'll be my first that I know.
Yeah, yeah. And the last time we smoked, she said that she had a bad experience with the stomach turning. Mm-hmm. So she didn't smoke, but, you know, you see it on Instagram and all social media. Like, if you go, like, social media started to micro-niche a little bit. Like,
a little bit.
You know, like you can definitely go to pages to your interests.
Mm-hmm.
Ashat Podcast on Instagram. Cheap plug.
cheap plug.
You know, you can find where the females are smoking and they're interacting more with the male smoker. So like that gender barrier is definitely lifting in cigars. And it's 2020. Like you would think like you mentioned it since the dawn of time. Like you wonder where that disconnect happened, where it became a male
predominant male you know, pastime. I don't understand it. One thing before we go any further, I noticed we have a slightly different situation going on here with our cigars. Mm-hmm. You ashed yours, and I'm trying to keep mine. Do you normally ash?
Nope.
Do you like to keep it on as long as you can?
Social, I do.
Interesting.
I do ash quicker because I'm not paying attention. Like
there
where
goes
you,
mine.
Yeah, yours
right,
is dry.
Right in my lap. Yeah. It happens all the time.
But if you were paying attention, you saw it starting to go, you would
ash it. Yeah.
But when I'm alone, and if you check our Instagram, I think, Tuesday night, two nights ago, I posted my long ash.
Your long ash, yeah.
And funny story, I say that because another contradiction. At Luke's third birthday.
Oh, my son Luke, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I'll find the picture. It was the greatest ash I've ever had in my life.
I love a long ash pick.
Oh, same. And you know, like it's there's work to it. Like you gotta spin it right. Like there, it's not just oh I'm gonna smoke it and just not ash it. Like right. there's a lot to it.
It is very difficult to keep that ash.
Luke's birthday. Do you remember this?
Yep, I do.
I had his birthday is in November.
December.
December, yeah. Yep. I remember it was cold, but we had a beautiful day. We were out smoking in NEPA, if anybody is from this area. It's if you get a 40-degree day, you're in gym shorts.
Right.
And it was a beautiful day, and this ash. I mean, I almost had it down to where my band would have been,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't ash it once. And it was time to sing Happy Birthday.
Yep.
And I'm like, there's no way I put this down and keep my ash. So I remember trying to scream Happy Birthday, and I felt like that schlep. You know, I was like, no, Luke's birthday is much more important than this ash. But
still, yeah. I mean, it's a monumental occasion when you have an ash that's like 5 inches
remember
long.
Remember, like I started getting that circle, like I was in a dance party. Like everybody was looking at my ash. I love a long ash, but
yeah, I love it when they're looking at your ash. Right?
Oh, nice ash. But no, in a social platform, I find myself ashing more because it's not only about that, but like especially when in a non-pandemic world, like you're usually smoking in close corridors.
Mm-hmm.
So that ash has a mind of its own.
Oh, absolutely.
If you're in a shorts and if it falls on someone's leg, they're not gonna be happy.
Yeah, no,
it
and I've
hurts.
Had that happen before. Yeah, it does. Yeah. It's interesting.
You've ashed on me.
I have.
You have. Well, this past year, I think. Yeah. You...
for the purposes of our listeners, it's actually better to keep the ash on because it keeps the mm-hmm. foot of the cigar, that's the part that you actually like, cooler, and it will help to keep the smoke lit. So since my ash fell off here, I'm going to have to keep watch on this and make sure that it stays lit.
Mm-hmm.
But that oftentimes happens. You're having a conversation with somebody, and you don't go to the cigar soon enough and it burns out on mm-hmm. you. And part of the reason why that is that the cherry on the end of that cigar mm-hmm. burns out. And with that ash on there, it protects it. It keeps it a little bit cooler and it keeps it protected from the wind and from the elements.
Obviously, to get an ash, you have to smoke the cigar. How often do you take a drag?
That's a great question because a lot of people smoke real quick and that's a great way to get sick.
Yes.
Like, I think... And it's funny because there's a YouTube video for everything, right? And I think I remember when I first started smoking cigars, I looked it up and it was once every 30 seconds. And I break that rule all the time
wow.
is what they recommend.
No way.
I break the rule. I'm actually a very quick smoker. I like to smoke a cigar fast.
I'm not even at the third. You're at a half.
Yeah, I'm at a half. And it's funny because everybody smokes a cigar different and there's mm-hmm. no right or wrong way to do it. But it depends on how used to smoking a cigar you are, how big the cigar is. I mean... I would guess if I was a betting man, this would be probably a 50 gauge,
I'd say it's 5.56.
Yeah, maybe. Like
Five and a half inch cigar, five, because it was a little longer.
In case anybody's interested in knowing, when you go to purchase a cigar, there's usually a couple numbers that are associated with it. The first number is almost always the length in inches, so like a five. I love CAO for this because their flatheads are numbered, like the 660. Mm-hmm. So the six is the 6 inches length. I think this was roughly about a 6 inch length, maybe a 5.5. And then the second number, set of numbers, is the ring gauge. That gauge is based on a 64th system. So if you have a 50 ring cigar, that's 50 64ths of an inch. So if you have a 64 ring cigar, that's 1 inch around. So it's a good way to kind of gauge. A lot of the really thin cigars are tiny. I mean, they're, what, maybe 10, 20 gauge. I think a cigarette might actually be a 10 gauge.
They're called cigarillos.
Cigarillos, that's right. And what's also interesting about that is that we actually have a local cigar manufacturer right here in NEPA. It's Avanti. Mm-hmm. I don't know if our listeners know Avanti Cigars. They're made in Scranton. Well, I think that might be Dunmore.
It is Dunmore now.
Dunmore, Pennsylvania.
In the industrial park.
And I've actually been in there, and it's an amazing factory to go into. But they are machine rolled. And I know you were talking about how you went to a factory where they were hand rolling them. What is your opinion on the cigars that are machine rolled, like the Philly Blunts and the...
I found myself to be drawn more towards a hand rolled. And why is that? I feel like the draw is more profound. When I say draw, when you put the cigar to your mouth and pull on it,
take a drag, yeah,
take a drag, how easy it is for the smoke to fill your mouth,
mm-hmm.
for novice terms. And I found with machine rolled that one CAO was definitely machine rolled.
No, it was, yeah,
and you can tell. A novice smoker might not, but I found myself the easier the cut, the easier the draw, the more I'm going to like it. and you get both of them on a hand-rolled cigar, in my opinion. There might be some cigars out there that I haven't had or I'm ignorant to that are machine-rolled.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it has to do with the temperature of the humidor.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you get a dry smoke, and it smokes completely differently than if it was properly humidified.
And 68 to 72, still the norm?
I like my, and that's interesting because everybody's different. I like my humidor. My humidor has been running hot because it's summertime, but temperature-wise, the recommendation is 70-70. They want your humidor at 70 degrees temperature, 70% humidity. I like my smokes a little bit cooler, so I like it right around 68, and I like my cigars a little bit more moist. So I like a 72, which people who are listening to this are probably like, that's way too wet for a cigar.
No,
I just like it that way.
Yeah, I like to take my cigars out and feel the tip, you know, and like the more it scrunches down, the more moist it is.
You feel, if you take a cigar and you squeeze it and it cracks, oh boy, yeah. What a depressing feeling.
Put that back in the humidor, yep. Because at the end of the day, they're leaves.
Right.
And they're going to feed off one another. Would photosynthesis be a thing, or am I talking on my hiney?
Well, I mean, when so for anybody who knows about cigars and how they're made, the plant is actually harvested. The leaves are actually hung in a barn and they're fermented for a long period of time. There is water loss that occurs in that process. It's interesting because it's almost like you have to rehydrate the cigar when you're ready to smoke it. And a lot of times when I purchase a cigar online, they come overly humidified, and they do that on purpose because they don't want them to dry and crack. Once that crack forms, it's very hard to deal with it after the fact. And I've seen people who will put their cigars in over a pot that's steaming and try to rehumidify them, and they're not the same. I don't know. I really have a hard time justifying not having a humidor at the correct humidity, as long as you're paying attention to it. They're premium cigars. I mean, you're spending money on them.
And you know this. At a younger age, I was a fool of my cigars. I would just let them go in the winter, because I found myself, well, I'm not smoking anyway. And then around February, when like spring would start hitting, around Valentine's Day, I would start seasoning it, getting back at it. Hey, Mike, you can make sure the cedar's good in this. The things like that, because I knew come March, if I get it ready a month earlier with the distilled water, the floral beads, the little nuances you need to keep your humidor right, that a month later,
They'd
be perfect.
Oh, absolutely. It takes time. It really does.
And, but if you find one cracked, don't throw it away. You know, like you can totally, at least for me, like I've
Oh, absolutely. I it's a sin to throw a cigar away unless it's completely destroyed. Right. Like if it's cracked, you're still going to smoke it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's worth the time to smoke it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting that they recommend, you know, you could buy all these things to keep your humidor seasoned and up and running and everything. There's cigar juice, and there's really expensive.
I use cigar juice.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I like cigar juice, but I'm still a big fan of regular old distilled water. Back in the old days, you never had a meter. You never had these beads, the Bovita packs and the things like that. And we've come a long way from, you know, the old days when you just, you put a little shot glass of water that you were assuming was clean, and that kept everything humidified. Now it's such a science, you know. You can. Mm-hmm. I have a digital. Do you have a digital hydrometer in your humidor?
I don't.
I have a digital.
I have.
I'm a scientist, of
not
course.
The,
I
Yeah, digital. The other kind.
The analog. The
analog.
The
yes,
dial.
Thank you. Yeah. funny. A former coworker of mine used to use a potato to keep it hydrated.
Yes, you can.
And
do
it
that.
Was funny because he started growing potatoes.
Yep.
Like the potato would start growing again.
I'd be nervous. Now, and here's another interesting sort of controversial topic in cigars is, do you take them out of the cellophane, the wrapper that the cigar goes in, before you put them in the humidor?
Personally, I do not.
Okay.
Do you?
It depends on the smoke. Sometimes I will take them out. I have a few in mind that are loose, freely floating around, but I like to leave them in the cellophane because I feel like it protects them a
little bit. And
this is
why I don't. Because there's people out there, and there always will be, who are much smarter than I am when it comes to cigars. But when you go into a store, all those cigars are in humidors.
That's right.
And all those cigars are still in their cellophane.
That's right.
Not because of the price, because they can just put the tag on the box and walk over to it.
That's right.
So the reason I do is because others do it as well. And I'm not a follower by any means, but I've noticed that if the cigar places are doing it, where that's where I'm buying my cigars.
Right. You expect them to be the experts on it.
Absolutely.
Now, and we're going back to like the hand roll, or I should say hand roll versus machine roll concept. You know, you can go to a Rite Aid. We're kind of NEPA, Northeast Pennsylvania. You can go into a drugstore or a convenience store, and you can buy a Dutch Master or a Phillies, or they have the owl ones. And I think it's funny that cigars of that caliber generally get put into other categories, because I think most of our listeners know what you do with those cigars. I mean, have you ever, heard any of that sort of thing?
Repurposed it?
Yeah.
I have not ever repurposed a cigar.
Neither have I. My brother was big on that. That was the first time my brother ever had a cigar. He taught me how with the Philly blunts, you know, and there's a reason why they're called blunts with the marijuana in there. But it's interesting because on a federal level, a lot of regulations are coming out now to try to prevent kids and people from purchasing cigars because that's what they think that they're using them for. That's not what this cigar is. I mean, the cigar that we have in our hand, this Gregorio, this is a premium hand-rolled cigar that had no intention of ever being used for anything else.
Right.
And most cigar smokers are privy to that. They want to make sure that they're smoking cigars of that caliber.
Again, ignorance, but when did they start just selling the rolls? Like,
that's, you know, and it's funny because you don't see on the market the cigar papers. It's funny, those for any
that's
of our
what I was referring to the cigar paper
our listeners you. That know, if you buy a machine rolled cigar, what they do is they take the leaf for the cigar and they chop it up in little pieces and they mix it with water and they create this sort of paper that is made of a tobacco leaf, and that's what they use as the wrapper.
Wow.
And it makes it easier for them to feed through the machine, almost like it is a paper. It's actually the same way they make Pringles chips.
No way!
Yeah, so Pringles...
That's crazy.
Pringles chips, if you look at a can of Pringles, they're not called chips. There's a big historical controversy over the difference between a potato chip and Lay's lawsuit against Pringles. But they call them crisps because they take the potato and they cut them up in little pieces, and then they put them back together as a chip. It's exactly the same way they do it with the cigars that are machine rolled. These ones, this is a, when you look at a premium cigar and you can see the veins of the leaf, that's how you know this is a cigar that actually had a leaf that was used as a wrapper. And that's part of the reason why they don't go under the same sort of regulations as the other ones do.
Are you close to 2/3 already?
I think so, almost, you know.
What, have you seen anything different from the third to the 2/3 with
this? A little bit. I say with this cigar in particular, when you first smoke it, it has a very light sort of nature to it. And I find this often with many cigars I smoke, that the deeper you get into it and as the juices start to concentrate deeper in the cigar, it gets more powerful. This cigar, to me, is gaining a little bit more strength to it.
At halfway, I'm the same way.
Yeah,
I was feeling the same way.
I would say I'm almost 2/3. Now, that's another good question is, how far do you go on a cigar?
Well, depends on where I am, what I'm doing.
Yep.
I've never used a roach clip. There's been some cigars that, man, I just want to keep smoking forever. But others, like, if it's, I predominantly smoke at night.
Right. Same here.
With the baseball games or once the kids go to bed type thing. Same with you.
Same with me.
And if it's like, I'll know, like, I usually smoke it. I start to think about it in that bottom third, obviously. But when it starts getting close to where the band would be, probably the back end of the band, or I hold my cigar where the band would be. That's why I mentioned with the with that candle wax.
Yep.
And I'll start gauging where I'm at. Like, if it's 10:45 and I'm tired, all right, well, I got what I needed to out of this. But going back to that strength, like, and the reason why I feel like that gets stronger is because you keep pulling it down.
You're
pulling it and pulling it and pulling it. Like a rope, almost. Like, you're pulling the nicotine through, the tobacco through.
Every draw is bringing that liquid. Any sort of liquid that's in there is going to get closer and closer to
your
mouth. I feel
like that is the strongest third. And
definitely.
If I start feeling that wooziness, that over nicotine, I'm like, I'll cheat it a little bit. I'm like, all right, time to call it a night. I find myself sleeping better, though.
Interesting.
Like, the closer I get to completing it, so to say, the better I sleep.
I agree.
And I think, I don't know if it's the nicotine or the, I mean, that's your...
The calming. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, the nicotine calms you down and gives you less jittery of a feeling. I have a hard time with cigars sometimes and not smoking them as much as I possibly can because I'm enjoying it so much that it's just, it's going good. It's still mm-hmm. smoking good. But sometimes I find when I get that deep into a cigar, it's hard to keep it lit. And mm-hmm. when you're down to like your the nubs of your fingers and you're trying to get that last draw, and all of a sudden now it's starting to feel hot.
Yeah.
If you are holding a cigar and you're smoking it and you start to feel the heat, that's generally a good sign that it's time to stop.
That's, yeah.
And I hate it because sometimes I'll leave a cigar in the ashtray and it'll be, I don't know, maybe an inch or two left and be like, oh, I could have gotten a couple more drags out of that. One recommendation I would give to people is don't try to pick up that cigar again and smoke it, because that'll be one of the worst experiences. I've done that.
Different.
It does. Have you ever had a situation where you left a cigar and then went back to it and tried to enjoy it and it wasn't the same?
Mike's wedding.
Yep.
He gave me that tube. And I would... For a year, if I smoked like a high-end cigar I wanted to complete, I just did this last year too. So I'd smoke it, I would snip it.
Mm-hmm. I've done that before.
I tried to re-smoke it, and thinking about it now, because I've never given it much thought, but it does taste different. I think it's because you're pulling those chemicals and that liquid mm-hmm. through that it will never be what it once was. So I put it in the humidor. Makes my humidor smell like death.
Yeah.
It's a terrible scent.
Oh, I know.
So I don't think I'm going to do that. I don't think I'm going to do it, no matter the cigar. Like, I just don't think it's a...
I hate wasting a cigar, and I've Me done too. It. And oh, boy.
I say that now, but I'll probably do it in a month.
I know. And I've done it with so many times with, you know, we both have young children, and sometimes I'll light up a cigar, and then something comes up. You know,
I want to go play Fortnite.
Yep. My kid wants to go on the Jeep, on the Power Wheels, and it's hard to run with a cigar in your mouth.
And not to mention, though, I mean... We love cigars, but Luke's never going to be on that Power Wheels again at this age.
It's true.
You know, David's never going to want to play Fortnite with me mm-hmm. in that season. You know,
that's
like,
right.
And same with Benny and Samuel. Like, mm-hmm. Benny could be throwing a temper tantrum because he wants to hang out with Daddy at 4 months old. They know. And same with Samuel.
Yeah, my son is almost two, and he knows that he wants Daddy right now.
You know?
And then it's...
And that cigar becomes secondary real fast. You know?
Life, there's no script to life. There happens to be things that come up, and you're trying to enjoy yourself. And that's why we try to take time away from our busy lives, and mm-hmm. we try to smoke when we know nothing else is going to take precedence. But sometimes things come up, and you have to put that cigar down. And sometimes I go back to that cigar, and I go, wow, that was a really good smoke. I wish I could have finished it. And that's where having a box comes into play. You have
absolutely.
An extra smoke.
I was just going to say, the best thing you can do is go buy it again and find more time.
Right,
and,
absolutely.
You know, the one thing, too, and like I think it has to do with how much they roll it or how many leaves they use.
Mm-hmm.
There's some cigars, and you mentioned this in the first sentence, mm-hmm. there's some cigars they'll take you 35, 40 minutes. Those acids are a 35-minute cigar, no matter how you cut it.
That Blondie, it's short.
That Blondie's a 35-minute cigar. I love smoking the nubs. Alice, that crazy Alice I gave you, that's going to be a good one. But when you know, like, it's cold, but you still want to smoke,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, something quick like that. But there's some cigars that have that 5x5 ring.
Yep.
And that CAO flathead is mm-hmm. notorious for this. It's the same size as any other cigars, but it takes double the time to smoke it.
That's right, because of how thick it is.
And
the girth.
Yeah. But you don't. So I'll go out, like, 9:30. Like, all right, I'll pick this cigar, go smoke it. I'm like, wow, this is good. Wow, it's 11:30. Wow, I have to be up at 5.
Yep.
You know, it's like, you got to just call it quits. And I think going forward, I'm just going to acknowledge what happened. Smoke another one. Either get a box or go buy a duplicate.
Right.
And one thing about cigars, and there are some that are rarer than others, the Amazon Basin, of course, but you more often than not are able to buy it again.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm big into craft beer. My beer gut shows. craft beer. It's crazy how rare those beers are.
Oh,
like,
no. It's so limited.
Oh,
where they go
it's
into
so expensive.
Tired Hands or
Equilibrium. Other Half, Treehouse.
We go all the places
in
New York and New Jersey.
And it's something I got to kick. Like, I got to kick that habit. One, because... The old waistline.
Yeah, we're not getting any younger.
No. Metabolism's not getting any faster. And but I don't think that's the same with cigars at all. And
I don't
think
so either.
That's not a bad thing.
No.
You know?
I don't think so. I have a hard time, you know, with certain cigars going and buying them again just because I had a bad experience with them, or because, you know, I had them when things weren't going so well. Sometimes I associate a cigar with a bad experience, and sometimes I associate a cigar with a great time.
Mm-hmm.
I have a list of cigars that I really, really like, but it's hard when you're smoking a cigar to only have one and think that that's the only way that that cigar smokes, because I've noticed with a lot of cigars that come out of a box, a couple of them taste a little bit differently. And that's the nature of the beast. Every cigar has its own unique leaf. They're like people. They're all unique. And they try these blenders to make them as you know, congruent. Similar, yeah. congruent as possible. And it's difficult to do. I can't imagine any cigar manufacturer right now.
That's the beauty of it.
Oh, yeah. It's an art.
Do you think, too, like, we say hand-rolled. That's a human element.
So, absolutely.
I mean, that Santiago box, it was a barber pole wrap,
mm-hmm.
and he explained to me all the different tobaccos used. But every single cigar is different. Why? Because a human does it.
Right.
And humans are very difficult to get in that Six Sigma level.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like that 99.6. Like, it happens so rare, you know, on a human side.
Right.
That every cigar at a hand rolled is going to be different. I think that's why when you're smoking a good hand rolled, like, daddy, come on, I need a push on the, it's like,
on the swing, yeah.
Like, you feel that moment of animosity? Mm-hmm. Like, do you feel that?
Yeah,
like,
I do.
It's like, God damn it.
Now, what do you think about smoking around your kids? Because
I don't.
Interesting.
I do not. I know you do.
Right? I do, yeah. And that's funny because we have friends with children, and I've had so many people who give you a dirty look, and they're like, wow, you're going to smoke that cigar near my child. Well, and granted, we wouldn't do it in a house where the ventilation is poor, always outside. But I try my best to keep the cigar smoke away because I know people are concerned about secondhand smoke, mm-hmm. and they're always going to be people who are concerned about
that.
And
as we age and technology grows, you start learning more technology and more benefits and, you know, lack of benefits, or mm-hmm. lack of better term, of the secondhand smoke. So when I was in Santiago factory, they had the hand roller there, world-class human. I brought David in.
Yep.
And he's obviously never smoked a cigar. I never have him, like, if he comes outside to tell me something about the switch, I immediately put it down, immediately on the opposite side of him. But I would never give somebody a dirty look because part of me thinks that David's going to be smoking a cigar someday.
Right.
So at some point, he's going to have to get acclimated to it. And, you know, he's at the age now, he's going into third grade where they start teaching him tobacco is bad. And, it, you know, there's a lot of negative benefits to it.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying benefits, but what's the word?
There's a lot of disadvantages.
Disadvantages.
And negative consequences.
Consequences, too. Yes. But I wanted him to see that it's not just about smoking. Like, it's not an addiction. Like, I can never smoke a cigar again if I...
I was going to ask you about your nicotine mm-hmm. addiction, because I feel like I kind of have a little bit of... I know if I haven't had a cigar in a couple of days, I can get the feeling, but I agree with you that if I never smoked a cigar again, I wouldn't. You know, if I ever had a situation where,
like,
God forbid, the price came up and it was like $50 a smoke, could you imagine with
the podcast would continue, though, folks.
No, absolutely. We would talk about something different, but that's a concern that I've had with people saying, oh, I'm not going to pay $50 for a cigar.
There's been some talk of it.
That's right.
A different taxation on the tobacco leaf.
That's right.
But no, getting back to David, like, David, I told, like, we were stopping at different cigar places, and he goes, daddy, you know, cigars are really bad for you. I'm like, I get it. I do. And I don't do it often because of that, because mm-hmm. it is bad. But I want you to know this is why I do it. You know, I respect what these rollers are doing. I respect why they're doing it, to provide these type of moments for others. And it's been going on for centuries.
Right.
So when I had the opportunity to show David how a cigar was made, I didn't think he'd be interested at all, but I mean, I have pictures. Like, he would not take his eyes off it.
Right.
He was utterly captivated. And we went to the Corning Glass Museum. He was more interested in watching this man make that cigar. And I think it was because he saw it getting done by hand and saw and knew that daddy would smoke that.
Mm-hmm.
The roller used 6 leaves and rolled a cigar right there, and it was captivating to him.
Oh, I've seen it. It's a beautiful process, and it's very, very amazing. Specific, and you have to be trained in order mm-hmm. to do it. I was going to ask you how often you smoke, because it's funny, when I first started smoking a cigar, and I used to talk to my doctor about this, it was, I smoke one a year. And then it became, well, once every 6 months. And then it became, as it became more and more of a part of my daily routine, mm-hmm. that I was having one a day. And I'm at the point now where if I have one a day, that's about average. But if I go a day or two without one, that's okay. Yeah. Yeah, what do you see yourself doing?
In 2017, before I started junk removal, I smoked 7 to 10 a week. Probably the same pace as you.
Mm-hmm.
If you do anything physical for a living, you'll learn that lungs are really important.
Yeah.
And I've learned that if I smoke, I won't smoke a cigar if I have a busy day the next day.
Agreed. If I'm going golfing, I can't smoke a cigar.
I'll smoke on the course.
See, that's interesting because we're different in that regard. I won't smoke a cigar when I'm golfing.
Well, you smoked a cigar with me while
I have, and I've learned that I can't golf and smoke at the same time because I love having a cigar on the golf course just because I'm outside and I enjoy the beauty. But when I'm trying to golf, well, no, granted, neither of us is very good golfers, but I have a hard time golfing while I'm smoking. I really do.
The follow-up question, I hate to, it's a simple question, but why?
You know, the problem is I want to dedicate more time to it, so I'm trying to focus on smoking the cigar and enjoying the cigar. And at the same time, I'm also trying not to put my ball in the water or the trees.
So you're trying, and you're also making sure nobody's picking balls up.
Yeah, right.
We have a mutual friend that is notorious for that.
That's very, very true. Yeah. But it's funny, scoundrel. I mentioned before earlier that I like to smoke a cigar while I'm doing work. And I feel like if I'm doing something with my hands and I have a cigar in my mouth or a cigar in my hands, that it helps me to focus on the task at hand. But when I'm golfing or when I'm doing something where it's a little bit more lung activity, like I don't like to use the cart. I like to walk. So when I'm out walking the golf course, yeah, I know, right? Can you imagine walking the golf course? I love it. But I have like, oh man, I have to take a breath here because I have a cigar in my mouth. Or this is even worse. I'll leave the cigar at the previous hole. Then you got to go back and find your cigar or your lighter. Or the cutter.
I've lost some things, yeah.
Yeah, I do it all the time. I leave my cigar gear. Do you find that people oftentimes take your gear and repurpose it for themselves, and they just take it and keep it?
Well, I find that often, especially being friends with you. You've done that to me.
Well, and what's interesting about that is I usually am the one that reloads your lighters with butane because, you know,
you're a chemistry god.
Yeah, I know. In case our listeners are wondering, you have to bleed your lighters, your butane lighters. If you have a really good one, you got to bleed them once a month to make sure that they're up and running. And sometimes I find that you give me a lighter that's a really good lighter
this
and
happened
I'll fill it up.
3 weeks ago.
This did. The lighter we're using for this podcast actually is one of your lighters that you gave me to refill, and it hasn't come back to your domicile.
But you know what you find? Like, it's not like you're stealing a soul or a book or money or a thing. Like, if you stole a lighter from me, which you have a couple of them, I don't find myself minding as much. Like, do you find that too? Like, if I stole a lighter off you, I feel like you wouldn't mind because of the camaraderie behind a cigar.
Well, and that's the thing.
Like, it's agitating.
If it wasn't you, I would be. Oh, I've had people who have borrowed my lighter. I went to a wedding, and our mutual friend, Kyle, actually, I distinctly remember giving him one of my favorite lighters, and that lighter never came home with me, and I don't know to this day where it is. I know he had it, but I'm pretty sure he left
now,
it somewhere.
Now, do you have emotional attachments to a certain cutter or a certain lighter? You know I do.
I do, yeah. And especially if you get one as a gift. I know our friend Mike gave us a cutter as a wedding gift, as a gift to the groomsmen. Yeah. And I have that in the studio. I actually use that from time to time. It's not my favorite cutter, but it's one that I have an attachment to because it has my initials on it. I know you have.
Yeah, I have the same one, but my brother-in-law, when he was getting married to my sister-in-law, he gave me a 3-torch butane with the finest hole punch.
Mm-hmm.
And the it's 3 inches by 1 inch. And it's so powerful, and it has my initials on it. And it's a joke, but it's probably kind of true. It's like second only to my wife and kids.
Yeah.
Like, it goes Beth, the kids, this lighter. And like, I have it, like, I know exactly where it is at all times. If it's not in that spot, everything in my life shuts down.
Yep.
Nothing else continues until this lighter.
You find it.
Yep.
I've had exactly the same experience. And what's funny is I will make a point of not bringing my lighter somewhere where I know it could potentially go missing. That's why I'm a big fan of matches, too, is that I don't mind losing a match here and there.
And that makes sense.
But cutters are expensive.
Cutters are, well, some of them.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you can buy a cutter on Amazon for relatively cheap, but I have a Zycar cutter that I won as a prize at a cigar shop not too long ago. It was maybe a couple years ago, but
I think.
Love that cutter. And it's
is that the one from the Golf set?
Yeah, I have a 19th hole Zycar Golf gift set that came with a bottle opener, the cutter, and the ashtray. My son broke the ashtray, and he was so upset. And you were mentioning about your son and his experience at the factory. My son knows well about cigars, and I've smoked cigars around him, obviously not too close. But he knows about, you know, cigars and about the smoke, and he knows, you know, about things.
You know what I think it is? Like, when they find, when, and kids are so smart. Mm-hmm. Like, the 8-year-old and the 4-month-old, like, they know. And I think probably with Luke and Sam too, like, when they see you smoking a cigar, they know you're at peace.
That's true. You're not, like, yelling usually.
Usually.
Right.
But I think that's going to, you know, when they get older,
it's going to stay with them. Absolutely.
Yeah, like, they're going to remember us. Like, if daddy had a rough day, he'd have a cigar. If daddy had a great day, he had a cigar. Mm-hmm. And they would associate that with moments of clarity, moments of calmness. And I think as they get older, I think they're going to pick that habit up. And I don't think that's going to be a bad thing.
No, I don't think so either. I think Luke may potentially be a cigar smoker, and I'm okay with that. It's funny because I used to watch my parents smoke cigarettes, and I'm, you know, a kid of the 90s like you are, and we both had the D.A.R.E. program. And not only did we learn about the evils of marijuana and drugs, but tobacco, and, you know, we learned about those sort of things. And now we're learning that as you get older, moderation is the key. Obviously, you're smoking a pack of cigarettes and you're inhaling that smoke, it has negative effects. But I've found that cigars seem to be one of the least problematic in terms of health, because I'm not an inhaler, like we mentioned before, and it doesn't really cause that much of a problem. I don't ever find myself after smoking a cigar with a raspy voice or a hoarseness to it.
I mean, we're doing a podcast while smoking.
While smoking a cigar, that's
right. Yeah, but if we did a cigarette, I think we'd be coughing.
Can you imagine with the amount of tobacco that's in a cigar versus a pack of cigarettes? I mean, it actually is roughly about the same amount of tobacco in one shot. And people talk about, wow, you're getting such a hard hit of nicotine. It isn't being inhaled into your lungs. It goes in through a different way. I also wanted to ask you a little bit about this since we're talking about tobacco products. Did you ever chew? I always wanted to know this about you.
I did not. A lot. I was around it a lot. A lot of the guys on our football team. I don't think any of our close friends ever did. Maybe one.
Yeah.
I think two. But thinking about it, I know for a fact four of them didn't.
Yeah, I feel like in high school I had a lot of friends who did football.
Our coaches did.
Yeah, I had a lot of
We were around it.
Yeah, a lot.
Now, and do you feel like that's dying down?
You know, it's interesting because my uncle still chews, and I talk to people about chew, and you don't see a lot of young guys chewing as much, but there's a lot of weird products on the market now that are alternatives to chewing that have no tobacco in them whatsoever, but you get that nicotine. And same thing with vaping, and vaping is now a huge craze amongst the...
Do you think that's going to stick?
You know, I'd be interested to see, because there's a lot of research out that's coming out about the negative effects of vaping. I mean, it is water vapor, and I would say, and I would argue that that's a good thing, but all those other chemicals that are in there for the flavorings, they really are weird with all the popcorn lung and diseases that are coming out of kids strictly vaping and how negative effects there are about it.
And it's crazy because those numbers are so low, you wonder how, you know, like how driven it is from the tobacco, like the Newport companies and them, like how they're doing that just to
Newport was my father's favorite.
Mine too. My mom always smoked Newport Lights.
Oh boy, and that fiberglass giving you the menthol flavoring, and oh boy, I remember thinking how bad that was.
Now,
for
did they
lungs.
Smoke in front of you?
Yeah, my parents smoked in their house. I distinctly remember how it smelled, and you don't smoke in your home. I don't smoke in mine. No. You smoke in one of your cars, at least. I know I have a car strictly for smoking.
You've smoked in one of my cars, at least. Yep. My mom, okay, she would never smoke in front of me.
Interesting.
She didn't smoke. She didn't tell me that she was smoking a cigarette until I was in high school. Now, my grandfather went to the grave with them never telling.
Wow.
My aunt and my mother never told my grandfather that they smoked cigarettes.
That's insane that they would keep that sort of secret. It feels like back in the 80s and 90s, it was kind of like the thing, and we have the truth, what's it called, the big ad campaigns coming out now that are so anti-cigarettes. But they're pushing, you know, how much of the regulations are for the premium cigar market. Mm-hmm. And I know I follow a couple things on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram about, you know, some of the regulations that the FDA is putting out against hand-rolled cigars. And what's key here is that these are not the same.
Not at all.
They're premium smokes.
Do you think it's money-driven?
I think there probably is a good component of it that is money-driven. But at the same time, I understand there is a health aspect to it, that we want to keep kids healthy and we want to prevent them from having diseases and concerns later on in life. But it's very hard to tell a kid that has picked it up and say, well, you know, this is enjoyable. You ask yourself, are you here for a long time or are you here for a good time? You know, your life is only so long and you want to enjoy it. And this is just one way of enjoying it. One other thing I wanted to ask you about is one thing that goes along hand in hand with smoking a cigar is drinking. And what is your favorite drink to have with a cigar?
Oh, so as I mentioned, I drink craft beer.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've learned, and this is from my cousin's closest friend, Deuter. We were at that big house, the tobacco shop, and he ordered a bourbon. And he said, watch this. And my mind, he turned where we pull a draw and dipped it in the bourbon.
Yep.
And he's like, try it.
And Uncle used to do that.
I'm like, what? I'm like, I'm not doing that. And I'll tell you what, man, it changed the game.
It does.
I have found myself liking the spirits more.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Like, I mean, if I'm sitting down on a rainy night, and I think I have one of those issues with alcohol. Like, if I have one, I'm drinking all night.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm one of those. And I found myself, though, and as ironic as it is, I found myself that when I have a cigar, it slows down my pace of consumption.
Mm-hmm. It does.
And personally, like, when I smoked that, the last 2-3 times I had a cigar, and this is probably because I was on vacation, I had a craft beer with it.
Mm-hmm.
I do enjoy the craft beer, but I like having the spirits. If I had a gun to my head, I would pick the spirits over a craft beer.
Which one? Bourbon? What's your drink of choice with a cigar?
I used to
love scotch with
you
a cigar.
You love scotch. And I will have scotch with it. I would say the bourbon.
The bourbon?
Moonshine's pretty good, too.
Yeah,
moonshine. Right? You know what it is? Like, and you know a lot about the shines and all that, is like the sugars.
Mm-hmm.
When you dip it, like, it kind of adds to the flavor. It's like adding a different sauce on your pizza.
Absolutely. You know? I know there's a lot of unique flavors. I used to be a big gin drinker too.
Mm-hmm.
And when you smoke a cigar and drink, they talk about the pairings, and there's so much science involved in the flavor of the smoke and the drink that you're drinking and how they go hand in hand with each other. It all has to do with your taste buds and what you're used to.
You are 3 years?
3 years sober. Yeah. I haven't had a drink in 3 years.
I'm always proud of, forever
well,
proud
you.
Of you
I,
of that.
And, I appreciate it.
But you brought up the alcohol. Do you find a drink like orange juice or any kind of non-alcoholic drink that you find yourself drinking the most? Soda?
It's funny.
I never asked you that.
When I smoke a cigar, I'm actually the cigar smoker who likes to eat when I smoke. And it's funny because there's a lot of people who won't eat when they smoke a cigar because they feel like there's something they're missing or that it's going to change the flavor of what they're eating. I if I'm smoking and I'm eating, it's one thing that's
a
just
munchie
natural.
Of choice.
Yeah, I like my potato chips when I'm smoking. See, a cigar.
I would think pretzels would go well
pretzels
too
go
because
well.
Like in the craft beer world, when you're at a beer tasting, you know, you get that pretzel to clean the palate. So like, yeah, it would kind of clean the palate as well as.
I'm a big ginger ale drinker now.
Okay.
I like to drink my ginger ale while I'm smoking
now,
a cigar.
Do you still drink the tonics?
I do. You know what's funny is I may be the only person in the world who buys tonic exclusively for the flavor because I love the flavor of tonic. I have probably 30 or 40 bottles of that sitting in my recycling bin because I drink that regularly.
Do you find yourself liking the tonic with the cigar?
It's interesting.
Like when you were. I know that I remember the mules.
Yeah.
Like you used to love
Moscow
the Moscow.
Mules,
oh my goodness, did you love them? And you love the gin and tonics.
Yep.
And I was always wondering, like, do you still drink the tonic with it?
I 100% will drink the tonic while having a cigar. It's interesting because tonic has a very unique flavor. Everybody talks about it like a pine tree or Christmas tree flavor. And to me, I don't see that flavor. I actually just like the way that it tastes. But with a cigar, sometimes it really, plus tonic has a lot of sugar in it. And it's good to have a little bit of sugar in your system when you're smoking a cigar. I would not recommend smoking a cigar on an empty stomach because you can get the spins. It's a very easy way to do that.
Talked about the spins. I find myself, when I start, you can start feeling the spins. I find myself going into, when I smoked on Tuesday, I I went and made a quick Pop-Tart. I made a quick Pop-Tart. I did. Because I was like, oh my God, the spins are coming.
Oh, geez.
And so you're just, are you, where are you?
I just took my band off. So
you did.
You figure I am roughly about, let's see here. I don't want to get the ruler out, but I'd say I'm about inch and a half, maybe 2 inches. How far are you?
I'm just getting to the...
No, we're almost about equal. About the equal.
I caught up to you.
Yeah, and again, it's funny. When you're smoking with somebody, you kind of keep the pace because some people are quick smokers and some people take their time. And it's funny because they give these recommendations for length of time and you say, this is a three-hour smoke, right, and you're done with it in an hour. And you're like, what did I miss?
So, to piggyback way back, we talked about that 30 seconds. I'm usually around 45 to 90.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm watching the Yanks and it's the bottom of the ninth and Chappie's on the mound and, you know, two guys on because God forbid the Yankees ever have a clean ninth inning, I find myself compulsively smoking.
Yep.
Like it's almost like my nervous thing. And then that's when I start getting the spins the most. And like right now, we were talking about this earlier. I have no spins.
No, I don't have any spins right now. It's a little hot in my garage, but
we're sweating
spins.
It out, right?
Right.
Want to start wrapping up, or
I think we're about ready to wrap up. This is about the time I would think of wrapping up.
Yeah.
It has been a fantastic smoke and a fantastic time.
Yeah, I would highly recommend it. Again, I got this going through Buffalo. I believe it's Nice Ash, and I will definitely post on and future reference. I'm definitely gonna be doing better research going into this because it's a phenomenal cigar. And the Brown Cigar Factory,
mm-hmm,
and the Nice Ash are within 4 miles of each other.
Oh,
so
wow.
If you're driving through Buffalo, you got to stop here. And I also got the Amazon Basin. So the Santiago Cigar Factory was specific. All they had was their own cigars.
That's great.
Both Brown and a Nice Ash, although they had their own line, offered other cigars.
Right.
If you're going through Buffalo, I highly recommend it. I'm going to try to get in touch with the owner, see if there's other cigars that he may offer that we can review. Maybe spurt some swag from him.
We like to let our listeners know exactly what we're smoking before we smoke them. So mm-hmm, our hope is to get on the Instagram. It's Ash Hats Podcast. One thing we want to finish up with before we wrap up is the name. You know, we got all the way through the cigar. We didn't even talk about our name, Ash Hats.
Mm-hmm.
Who came up with the name?
We went back and forth.
We did.
And we do own the domain. we do own the Facebook. Like, we have all this coming. The Twitter is going to be cool.
Yeah.
But we found that Instagram was just the funnest way to connect. And I don't know. Like, once I got on Instagram, I found there was such a good community.
There really is.
And, like, the pictures that are posted are magnificent.
Oh, they're
like,
beautiful.
Like, so beautiful. And the art that people do with their cigars is incredible, and you learn a lot. Like, a lot of the pictures on Instagram, like, they put the perfect caption. They mm-hmm discuss so much. And like, we talk about the alcohol and the non-alcohol, like, people post that too, and like,
yep,
there's just so much knowledge that I was drawn into starting the social media with Instagram. But in upcoming weeks, we will start plugging other social medias. We're going to be posting our reviews on our actual blog, and you know, like, we're gonna have our own swag. Like, we have a lot down the pike. It's gonna be good. Who came up with the name?
I'm fairly certain you did.
I think I did, but you came up with the logo.
Right, I did.
You did. I was impressed. You're very good at hand drawing. And that first Instagram picture was your hand drawn.
Yes, it was.
It was impressive. And
I think what's nice about Ash Hats is you take the idea of, you know, you're an ass hat, and I think we've both had that kind of called of us that, you know, oh man, that you're driving down the road and that person cuts you off and they're an asshat. And I've
been called an asshat, right, more often.
I've cursed in front of my kid and I try to prevent it as much as I can. And sometimes I find myself, you know, I'll say an ash hat. And we'd like to think that an ash hat is somebody who is a regular cigar smoker that just enjoys the time and the flavor and the camaraderie that goes along with cigars. So I'm hoping that our Ash Hats community can
not afraid
this.
To have a good time.
Not afraid
and
to have
not
a good
afraid
time at
all. To talk with us. And you know, obviously you guys aren't here with us, but we want you to be a part of our community. Like, go on our we have 10 posts right now, going to be 11 by the end of the day. And go on any of them, cuz we get notified if you comment on any of those pictures. So, hey man, great episode. You know, what you give us feedback.
Right.
And as we're wrapping up, like, we're going to be on all the platforms. So a lot of them offer reviews. we will only grow through your reviews and recommendations. Share us.
Likes and shares.
Likes and shares.
And subscribe. And yeah. This is going to be, we're going to try to do this a monthly, every month. We'll see how we're going to do that. But our topics every month are going to be quite varied. And if you listen through this entire podcast, you notice we talked a lot about cigars in particular. One week we might talk economics, one week we might talk education, parenting, and we try to concentrate on one topic in general, and I think that's something that hopefully our listeners will enjoy, but we'd love feedback and to hear what Mike, you actually want to listen to.
Mike wants us to talk about conspiracy theories because he won't admit it, but he's a conspiratist.
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, that's a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah, no, I think I'm more the conspiratist than him after our conversation, but right. Yeah, and if you guys have any ideas, like, in the world we live in, unfortunately, we can't always smoke in that social platform, but some of the best conversations I've ever had in my life, whether it be in this garage or just you and I, or even with my wife, or at a cigar bar where you meet new people, you have such good conversations over a cigar. And one thing that our niche is missing is that. So if you want us to talk about something or just piggyback off a topic we hit, or talk more about the history of one thing or another, or how people started cutting it and figure out how to light it. Like, let us know, because we're here to smoke with you, and our hopes is that you're on a porch or in your leather chair,
as I am currently.
Yeah, and you know, like, we want to be smoking with you, and we want that environment, that hearth.
That's right. This is a virtual hearth, so to speak, in a virtual world. And we thank you very much for your time listening to us and enjoying our cigars.
Let's end it with, how do you put your cigar out?
You know, in terms of etiquette, you never snuff a cigar out into the ashtray. It's best, I think, to let it sit and just kind of smolder and let that smoke fill up the room. And I'm just going to place mine in its little ashtray there.
So what I do, because I have anxiety, is I take one more big hit.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Love it. I put it in my ashtray, and then I pour water over it.
Oh, very interesting.
Just to ensure that it's out.
It's out, yeah.
So, guys, we're looking forward to many more episodes, and we're very thankful that you listen to us, and cheers.
Smoke them if you got them.
Smoke them if you got them.